Morning, everyone. Today's Daf is Daf Ayin Ches in Menachos. Okay, started the eighth parak yesterday of Menachos, and Karban Toda is going to be the topic of discussion throughout the eighth parak. Karban Toda is the Thanksgiving offering that a person gives after having gone through an experience where he was in serious danger, serious sakana, and had a Yeshua, had a total salvation, and wants to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he brings what the Torah calls the Karban Toda. Makes sense. Karban Toda means thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's the Karban that expresses this. The Karban Toda, as we learned yesterday, is noteworthy in the fact that it is not just an animal, but it's an animal together with bread as well. So, hence, even though really it's a Karban, and really fundamentally belongs in Tzvachim, but because of the bread aspect of it, so therefore it finds its way in Menachos, not only finds its way in Menachos, but will receive an entire parak of treatment to its discussion. Yesterday we learned through the Mishnah and through the Gemara that there are four types of bread that are brought with a Karban Toda. Now, truth is, we don't need the Mishnah for that. The Pesukim make that extraordinarily clear that there are four types of bread. What we learned about yesterday in the Mishnah, is quantities, right? The Torah does not give us quantity. When I say quantity, the Torah does not say how many loaves that are brought, and the Torah does not talk about the actual amount of flour that's brought as well. Okay, so yesterday, we after going through a lot of drushas, so the conclusion that we arrived to yesterday was the following. A Karban Toda is made up now. Measurements have changed a little bit, meaning there was a little bit of increment of measurement as we moved from the desert and we built the first temple, although I make it sound like that was an easy transition. That took about 400 years. Okay, but there was a little bit of an increment of measurements, but going with the Midbar measurements, with the measurements that are given in the desert, so the Karban Toda was brought from six sa'ah, which is 20 isarons. Okay, 20 isarons. 10 of them are used for the chametz, and 10 are used for the three matzah types. Okay, so as the Mishnah pointed out yesterday, so that means then that for each loaf of chametz for the Karban Toda, each loaf is going to be made up of one isaron. Okay?
That's for the midbar.
Huh? And that was for the midbar. Okay. Then as we moved into Yerushalayim, so the unit of measurement that we talk of is in terms of kabin, right? And it comes out that the total number of kabin that are used is 30 kabin. And again, now it's going to be the same breakup. 15 are going to be used for matzah, and 15 are used for chametz, and 15 are going to be used for the three types of matzah. The three types of matzah are rikikin, chalos, and revucha. Rikikin are thin wafers, chalos is bigger and thicker, and revucha means that they are actually boiled in oil.
Okay, revucha. Is there an indication why the measurement for Bamidbar was different from Yerushalayim?
Yeah, why did they increase? Okay, I have not heard of pshat yet. I'm waiting to hear. I have not heard of pshat in terms of why they increased. I don't know. It's a good question. By the way, the measuring cups were increased, but the actual amount that was used for the mincha did not increase.
Because the Mishnah says that there was six and five.
Right. In the Mishnah, in the time of the Midbar, they needed six. But when they got to Yerushalayim, the measuring cups got larger, so instead of needing six, you only needed five. Meaning the actual amount never changes. It's just the measuring cups were larger. They increased the size of the measuring cup. Meaning, we could at one point in time say, a foot is a little too small here in this country. Okay, so, you know what? We're going to make the foot, instead of making 12 inches, we'll make it 14 inches. And we could do that, meaning we can... if we wanted to, we could do that. But and for whatever reason, which I don't have a pshat. I don't know why they did it, but they did it. So
the quantity changed, but the ratio didn't change.
The ratio didn't change, and what I'm trying to explain, although I'm not doing a good job, is that the quantity didn't change as well. Yeah. Meaning we just converted. Meaning for whatever reason, they actually used bigger measuring cups. For whatever reason, they changed it. But we then said, okay, fine, we'll just convert back to. In order to make it what it actually is, meaning it is a constant volume in terms of how much is used for the for the for the for the mincha, for everything. It's a constant, and we'll just simply convert it based on, you know, what it actually needs. So instead of 6 sa'ah, it only needs now 5 sa'ah. Okay. Good. Yeah.
When we bench gomel, is that like the equivalent?
Yeah, so that's what we do nowadays. Nowadays we don't have a carbon todah, so we bench gomel. That's correct. That's our version of the carbon todah, and not as exciting.
They couldn't offer it during Erev Pesach.
Erev Pesach, they can't offer it, right? We don't say mizmor l'soda on Erev Pesach because
they couldn't eat it.
In other words, right? Technically you could offer it on Erev Pesach, but you'd only have a certain amount of time to eat it, and then, right? Amivin in the kashim l'lidei psul. In other words, you're going to cut off the life expectancy of a carbon. You can't do that. All right, we quoted a long brisa yesterday, and the brisa took us through all these numbers. And the one thing that we also point out in the brisa is, which again, the psukim speak to this as well, but the brisa is much clearer, is that you have to give a part of every one of the types of bread to a kohen. Okay, we have a resident kohen over here. So of the 40 loaves, so he's going to get 4 of the 40 loaves, one from each type. So there's there are 10 chametz loaves, so he's going to get 1 chametz. There are going to be 10 rakikin loaves, so he's going to get 1 rakik. There are 10, right, et cetera, et cetera. So he's going to get 1 of the 10. So there are a total of 40. Cohen's going to get 36. The Torah just simply describes it as truma. Now, what we did yesterday, if you remember in the break, says we wanted to know, how do we know that truma means 1/10? Because that's not always what truma means. Truma could mean, like, for example, in Bikurim, truma means just any amount. Right? So how do you know that truma means 1/10? So the Gemara, again, we had drushas yesterday, and the Gemara learned it through drushas, that truma means 1/10, much like truma's meiser. Truma's meiser is 1/10. Okay? That is what we did yesterday. We're going to finish up a little bit before we get to the new mission of today. We're back on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, and we're more towards the bottom of the Amud, and Amar Mar. Amar Mar is now what we did. We quoted the whole brisa yesterday. We ended with the brisa. Right, Shalom Yinatech Vasa Kamshi. Sorry, Amar Mar. Right after the words Vashar Necham LaBalim. Okay, you give 4 to the Kohen, and the rest 30-36 are eaten by the owners. Okay, so like the Gemara does all the time, we're going to now quote segments of the brisa and discuss and analyze and give further analysis of each section of the brisa. So Amar Mar. So the Gemara says, let's quote the brisa. The Kriv Mimenu. The pasuk says, and you're going to offer from it Minam Avchar, best of. Right, minam ufcha, the best of. So the Gemara says, how does that work best? In other words, mimenu means best of. How does that work in other areas in the Torah where the Torah says mimenu? Elamiyata dichsiv es kol chabo yarim mimenu. So the pasuk says es kol chabo yarim mimenu. And you're going to take the fat, the best of the fat. What does that mean, best of the fat? Meaning, in other words, once you shecht an animal, there's no best of. The chalev is the chalev. What do you mean the best of? So hasam my mechubar ika. So k'drav chista amar avim idamar rav chista amar avim shalom etech baster kodem. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. I said muvchar. Mechubar. Yeah. I'm sorry. My mistake. Okay. Sorry. Let me go back. Let me say it correctly. Amar mar v'ikriv mimenu mina mechubar. Sorry. Connected. That which is connected. Okay, thank you. So what does that mean, mechubar, right? By the chatas. It's connected. We're talking about the chelev. So, the Gemara says, oh, okay. So, when you take it out, meaning we know we're going to cut up the animal. You first take out the imurim prior to cutting up the animal. So that's what it means when it says mimenu from it. From it meaning while the animal's still intact, that's when you take out the imurim. Okay. Amamar namar kan truma menamar betrumas meiser truma truma. Okay, here we go. The Gemara says, how do we know that you have to give 1/10? Because it says truma. Now remember, truma doesn't necessarily mean 1/10. Truma can mean a lot of things. So the Gemara says, v'neilav mi trumas midja. Gemara makes an unbelievable suggestion. You know, there's another truma in the Torah, which it's coming up in a couple weeks from now, well, a bunch of weeks, right? And that is when we went to fight with Midian. So it was a fantastic war. The impetus for that war was not fantastic, but we fought with Midian, and it was an unbelievable win. and there was a lot of spoils of war. Right, Midian was a very wealthy nation, and once we defeated Midian, so there was a lot of spoils of war. The Torah then describes that when they came back with the spoils of war, they gave truma. Right, they gave the Kohen actually a portion. Although, truth be told, he didn't get such an exciting portion. He got 1/500. Right, a fifth of 1%. Right,
By the time it was only four kohanim. I mean, comparing
the army, one was from.
Right, that's correct. That's correct. But anyway, but he got really, really small portion.
No, the small portion for four kohanim.
Okay.
I mean, you're talking about.
Okay, you're right. You're right. You're right. In terms of the actual recipients,
per person,
it was good.
They got the highest.
The per capita.
They got the highest.
The nail of mitrumas mejan. So the Gemara says, yeah, there you have the usage of truma. So why don't we use that ratio of 1/500? Now I'm not even sure what the Gemara now is suggesting. Meaning 1/500th of your lach metoda. 1/10 is a number that we can work with, because there are 10 loaves and 1/10 means 1 loaf. Right. So when even in the suggestion, you know the Gemara is not going to accept the suggestion, but even in the suggestion, we're talking about basically taking off a small piece and giving it to a Kohen, and even that's difficult.
How tedious is that idea of dividing into 500 pieces?
Correct. And even that idea is difficult, because we know that you can't give him a prusa, you can't give him a piece, you got to give him a whole one. And the Gemara is now actually suggesting that we're making 500 little loaves. Okay, it's a suggestion of the Gemara, even though I don't fully understand it. Don in truma noheges ladoros, min truma noheges ladoros. The al tochiach truma midjan she'eino noheges ladoros. Okay, so I hope everyone saw this coming. The Gemara says no, because midjan is a one-time event, and that's not a mitzvah ladoros. That's not a generational commandment. It's not a what we classically call a mitzvah, right? Mitzvah by definition, the Rambam writes this in the. And before he starts counting the 613 mitzvahs, he says, I only count it if it's mitzvah ladaras, meaning a one-time event I don't count as a mitzvah. Meaning, of course, in the very essence of a definition, it is a mitzvah, meaning God commanded, but it's not a mitzvah in the sense that I count it as a minyan on mitzvahs, as one of the 613. So here also, yes, you're right. There was an occasion where Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded give 1/500th, but that's not going to set any type of precedent whatsoever. The Gemara makes one more suggestion. Another truma that the Torah talks about, which is challah. And challah means that when I make a dough, when I take the flour and water, mix it together, and now I have the dough before baking, you got to give a portion over to the Kohen. How much do you need to give to the Kohen? So once again here, Torah doesn't give a specific amount. Now, in the Mishnayos and challah teach us that depending on whether you are a balabais or you're a baker, you're going to give somewhere in the range of 1/24 to 1/48. Mm-hmm. Okay, not big numbers. 2%, 4%, right, somewhere in that range. But again, the Gemara now wants to know, here, once again, we have this idea of giving truma to a Kohen, truma of the Lach Metoda. How do you know it's 1/10? Maybe it's a 24th, maybe it's a 48th. Tan de Beir Yishmael, Dan and Davish and Amar Bo Mimenu, Lafuke Chumas Chala, Delo Namar Bo Mimenu. Again, the Mimenu creates a link between this and Chumas Meiser, and by Chala you don't have the word Mimenu. Chumal Hashem, Namar Bo Mimenu, Chumal Hashem. By Rav, Chumal Achmei Toda, Chayavan Alav Misa Vachomish, O Ein Chayavan Alav Misa Vachomish. Okay. One last question regarding the four loaves that are given over to the Kohen. We're calling it Truma. And the Gemara's question over here is so simple, and it's so good. When we call it Truma, do we really mean Truma? Meaning, does it have all the rights and regulations of Truma? Now that we're giving it the label of Truma, are we also giving it the legal designation as Truma? Is it Truma for all intent and purpose? Okay, for example, the Gemara says, we know by Truma, right? Dan can eat truma. I can't eat truma. In fact, it is prohibited. It's an issur for me to eat truma. I'm a non-Kohen. If I eat truma and I do it intentionally, I know full well that it's truma, and I understand, and I don't care. I'm, you know, it's exciting. I want to eat truma. I want to be a Kohen. So, whatever the motivation is. So, it's misa bidei shamayim, right? It's, in other words, it just put it in perspective. I have truma, and I have a piece of pork. Right, go for the pork, right? But pork has less of an isser than truma, Right, just, you know, giving everyone a sense of how usher it is for me to eat truma, right? Eating trefus, or in this case, you know, behemah tmeya is a lav. Eating truma is misa bidei shamayim. Okay, just giving everyone a sense of what it means to eat for non kohen to eat truma. Also, chomesh. What if I eat it unintentionally? So there is what's called chomesh, meaning I have to make. In other words, I stole. It's not mine. So I have to make restitution, and not only do I have to make restitution, but I got to pay back a fifth. Now let's see if we can remember yesterday's daf. When I say a fifth, you know what I mean.
Fifth from within.
Right?
No, fifth from outside.
Right, fifth from the outside, which really means a quarter. It's 25%. Okay, hang out with me, and then all of a sudden your fraction world becomes totally totally distorted. But you're getting it, right? So it's really 25%. So whatever its value is, plus another 25%, I can pay that back to the Kohen. Good. Those are the rules by Truma. That's Mis and that's Chomesh. So now, what about these four loaves that are given to the Kohen? Four loaves of the Lachmei Toda. Are they now, they're called Truma, but do we really mean Truma, meaning with all its legal designation? Kevin de Itkish, this is a Gemara's question. By Rav Chumas Lachmei Toda, Chayev Alam Misa V'Chomesh, Oyin Chayev Alam Misa V'Chomesh. Kevin de Itkish, Chumas Maisa, Chumas Maisa Dami. So, side A of the question is it really Trumas Meiser? Or do we say no, that it and a fifth of it means that these laws of Chomesh and Misa are specifically geared for real Truma, so to say, not these four loaves, which are not quote unquote real truma. Meaning truma just simply means I give a part of it to a kohen, but it doesn't have the real designation, the legal designation of truma. Another question, one more question to end off this discussion. Midama'as o eino midama'as. Okay. Once again, let's go back to what we know about truma. Truma, as I pointed out, is usser, and it's extraordinarily usser, right? More usser than a piece of pork. Now, a piece of pork falls into my pot. And now, and let's assume that I can't tell the difference between it and the other meat inside, so it becomes batal, becomes nullified. How much do I need in order to nullify it? So, in order to nullify the taste, I need 60. In order to nullify the actual meat itself, rove. I just need a majority, mm-hmm. a majority over the piece of non-kosher meat. In the world of Truma, however, we ratchet up the numbers, significantly ratchet up the numbers. In order for there to be bittul by Truma, you need 100 to 1. Significant numbers. So that means then a little bit of Truma falls into a large pile of non-Truma. So the word that we use is dimua, dalamem ayin. Right? Dimua means that there's now considered a mixture of Truma and Chulin. It is not subject to bittul, and basically what that now means is I got to give the entire mixture over to Dan. Dan is going to enjoy the entire mixture, and that's dimua. So the Gemara now wants to know the four loaves that are given over to the Kohen. We just call them truma with the same ratio of 100 to 1. Midamas oinam midamas teku, and the Gemara says, okay, again on this question as well, we don't have an answer. Okay. I guess just as a parenthetical note, this Gemara is difficult to understand because the 100 to 1 ratio of Truma is only a Dinda Rabbanan. It's not a Dinda Araisa. I guess what the Gemara is asking over here is, are we going to take this Dinda Rabbanan and apply it to the Lachmei Toda, the four loaves of bread that are given over to the Kohen? But again, maybe the Gemara over here is asking only on a Dinda Rabbanan level. Okay. Anyway, Amamar. Let's go back to the Gemara. We're now on the bottom line. Amamar, Tamalama, Tiyena. 10 loaves of bread. How do I know they're 10 loaves of bread? Because it says Tiyena. What? How did that work? How did Tiyena tell us that there are 10 loaves of bread? So my Tamuta, so that's the Gemara's question. Yeah, how did you see that? So Amar Yisrael, Dimi Tiyena Ksiv. So it says Tiyena. It's written Tiyena. So Rashi points out, open up a Chumash, and you'll notice something strange. There's an extra yud, meaning T and it could be written just simply with one yud, and meaning there's an extra yud over there, and a little gematria, easy gematria for today, right? That extra yud speaks to the number 10. Yud and gematria is 10, so that's how you see that there are 10 loaves of bread by the chametz. So the Gemara says, "Ema asara kepizi." Good. That tells us that there are 10 loaves of bread. How do I know that each loaf is a full isaron? Maybe, let's say, each loaf is just a kapizi. Kapizi is a half of a kav. Okay? I don't know how to translate that into isaron language, but small, significantly smaller is the point of the Gemara. Amarava bi isaronis ki berakasov. No, that's not how the Torah speaks. The unit of measurement that the Torah speaks of is in units of isaron. So, if we know the number is 10, there are 10 loaves of chametz, so we're going to assume the default measurement is going to be one isaron. So it's going to be 10 of those. So the 10 lachme todah, specifically the chametz loaves, are going to be 10 isarons. Okay. Amar Rav B'Yisroel Stibar HaKasav Lamanu Asar L'Chametz Asar L'Matzah Minayin. Good. Now let's go one step more. We now know that the 10 loaves of the Chametz are 10 loaves that are made up each one of an Isaron. Now we move over to the Matzah side. Now we know there are three types of Matzah. There's Rekikin, there's Chalos, and there is Revucha. There are three different types. But the total amount for those three types are going to be the same, 10 as 10 isarons. How do you know that? Tam alamar achalos lechem chametz keneged chametz. Keneged chametz havei matzah. So the Gemara says, because the Torah basically says it, al chalos lechem chametz. In addition, or literally, on top of, but we don't take this al to be mean literally, but on top of the chametz, which means that the amount that you need for chametz, take that same amount and use it for matzah. Okay. The Gemara now, extraordinarily technical question, but v'chidavar halamed behekesh chozer malamed behekesh. How can we do that? Because the whole concept that the chametz loaves are made up of 10 and each one of them is one isaron, that already is established not by itself but through a hekesh. So now what are we doing? It's a double derivation. We go back to the Gemara in Zvachim and Daf Memtes, Daf Nun, Daf Nun Aleph, right in the middle of Zvachim, we had exactly this discussion, can I do a double derivation? And here the discussion is a double Hekesh, right? Hekesh, Hekesh. So can I do that? And the Gemara in Zvachim basically said you can't do that. In the world of Kachim, Ein Chozer Umalamed, you cannot learn and then learn again through another derivation.
But you can in the rest of...
In the outside of the world of Kachim, you can. In the world of Kachim, you can't. So, the Gemara says, so how does that work over here? So, Malamed Be'ekesh, So, the Gemara gives technical question, technical answer. Heimenu v'davar achehu, v'chol heimenu v'davar achehu, lo ha'vehekesh. So, the Gemara says, even the first derivation is not totally a hekesh. It is heimenu v'davar acher. Really, the first derivation is self-generated. And so that first generation doesn't count as a bona fide hekesh. It's what the Gemara says, heimenu v'davar acher. And kol heimenu v'davar acher lo have a hekesh. It's not considered a hekesh. Rashi goes on to explain. I'm looking at the top Rashi, not the bottom Rashi. Heimenu v'davar acher, klomer. Here in this particular case, the whole idea that the shtei halechem is each one of those loaves is one isaron, and the 10 loaves of the todah, each one of those loaves is one isaron, is considered self-generated, not considered a hekesh. And since it's considered self-generated, so consequently it is, you can go. Back to the Gemara, v'chidavar alam behekesh chozem. I'm sorry. Alah behekesh hanich laman dama lo have hekesh laman dama have hekesh Michael. Amemar. So the Gemara says, okay, but not everyone agrees even to this. So the Gemara says, taviu ribuyehi. So the Gemara says, yeah, but it's an extra drasha, meaning it's not it's not hekesh hekesh. It's really a ribui. The ribui is a self-standing drasha, so therefore it's fine. Meaning Taviyu comes to teach us not that you bring just the shtei alachem and each one of the two loaves and shavuos is made up of one isarun, but Taviyu also speaks about the lachme toda as well. Each one of the chametz loaves of the carbon toda is one isarun. We know that the total of each one of them therefore is going to be 10 esronim. Now we're going to take that number and move it over to the matzah, and that's going to be just one hekesh, not two hekeshes. Okay. Ad kan, we finished the discussion of quantity, and now we're going to turn for just a couple of minutes to other areas, other times in the Torah, where the Torah talks about complementary breads that come in conjunction with the carbon. One of those is historical, and one of those is, for us, also historical, but Hamiluin, Hayubayin Kemasa Shebetara, Chalos, Urikikin, Urivucha. Okay, the Miluin, the inauguration, when the Mishkan was inaugurated. So the Kohanim brought a special karbanos for their inauguration. All of it is enumerated in Parshas Tzav and Parshas Shmini, and the Torah goes on to describe how for these miluim, for these inaugural karbanos, so there was also menachos as well, and the Gemara here is the Mishnah is teaching us that just like by the lachmei toda, the loaves of the toda, three different types of matzah, chalos, rekikin, and revucha, same thing is true regarding the miluim as well. Now that's a historical point, meaning miluim only happened once. And then another time is Nazirus. A Nazir, together with his carbon, also is going to be bringing the loaves as well. But here, not three types, two types. Nazirus ha'isabah, shtei yados kematzah shal toda, chalos urikikin. Ve'ein ba revucha, revucha does not come in conjunction with the Nazir. Now the Mishnah here is going to make an assumption, which is that if there would have been three loaves, three different types, so what's the total amount? Total amount is going to be 10 esronim. Okay? That's our number, meaning that the template for quantity is going to be the lachmei toda. Toda sets the template. Okay, so if the ratio is 10 esronim for three types, and for the nazir, he only uses two of three, okay, so this is a very simple ratio. So what's going to be the quantity? How much flour is going to be needed for the nazir? And the correct answer is going to be 6 2/3, right? That's in the midbar. Let's just convert to Yerushalmi measurements for just a moment. How many kabin did we learn in the Mishnah is required? 15 kabin for the lachmei toda. Now, a little bit of conversion, 2/3 of 15? 10. Okay, those are the exact numbers that the Mishnah speaks about. Nimsa asara kabin Yerushalmis, shein shisha esronim v'odayan. 10 kabin if we were in the first temple, and going back to the midbar, it would be 6 and change. Change is code for 2/3. Okay. Shisha esronim v'odayan. Minahani Mili, the Gemara is going to just give us now sources for this. Amar Chista, Amar Chamar Barguri, Amar Kro, Misal Matzos Asher Lifnei Hashem, Lakach Chalas Matzah Achas, VeChalas Lechem Shemen Achas Urikik Echad. Okay, pasuk by the Miluim in Parshat Tzav that speaks about the loaves that are brought in conjunction with the Miluim. Small problem. If you go back and you reread the pasuk, you'll see the word Chala, you'll see the word Rikik. You're going to be looking and struggling to find the revucha. And the Mishnah told us that by the Miluim there are three types, not two types. So, Bishlam, Chalos, Chalos, Rikik, Rikik, Shemen, Mainihu, Lav, Revucha. So, encoded in this pasuk is the word Shemen. Shemen speaks to the idea of revucha because revucha actually means boiled or fried in, deep fried in oil. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Torah doesn't say the word revucha. The Torah just simply says the word shemen. Maybe shemen means anta demashcha. Okay,
you could argue that oil also used for other tools.
Right.
So it's a
correct. And the Gemara just simply suggesting that we could just simply make something out of the oil. Anta demashcha, I'm not really clear what this is. The Gemara's point is that simply it's not revucha. Rashi over here offers a couple of explanations. Anta demashcha chatichas isa ava shetigna b'shemen. Just a big dough that you fry in oil, not necessarily revucha. Or Rashi offers another pshat. Anta demashcha shemen karush agul, an oil cake, a congealed oil cake. Okay, it doesn't sound good. Point is, where do you actually see the word revucha? Elokid the darsh Rav Nachman Rav Chista Mishmei the Rav Tavla Zeh Karban Aaron Uvanav Asher Yekriv Al Hashem B'Yom Himashach Oso, on the day of inauguration. Now we know, we learned this already. Every time a kohen gets inaugurated, every time a kohen gadol gets inaugurated, he brings a special mincha on the day of his inauguration. That mincha is called Minchas Chavitin. Now the Minchas Chavitin is deep fried in oil. So it is revucha. So v'chi ma lamanu levana b'yami mashcho ala mekish chinucho lehi mashcho. Chinuch and meshicha. The day of chinuch, the day of inauguration, is going to be the same day as being anointed the Kohen Gadol. Mahi mashcho revucha av chinucho revucha. Just like on the day when you become Kohen Gadol. So you're going to be bringing a revucha, otherwise known as Minchas Chavitin, so too on the day of inauguration, opening day, they're going to bring Revucha as well. Amar Rav Chista, Kohen Gadol, and Mizkar of La Avoda, Tzarech Shtei Esronos Ha'Eifa, Achas Limashcha, V'Achas Chinucha. Okay, when you are appointed as Kohen Gadol, so on that day, you're going to bring two Esronim, meaning two Minchas. One for your Mishicha, one for your appointment, meaning you are now anointed as Kohen Gadol. That is a new appointment. You're going to be bringing a Minchas Chavitim for that. And also Chinuch, right? It's an inauguration, your inaugural day as being Kohen Gadol. And so therefore you're going to be bringing Chavitim for that as well. Marbar Ravashi Amar Shalosh. Another Amora, Marbar Ravashi says three. Velo Pligi. And the Gemara points out, he's not really arguing. Had Avad Avodah Kishu Kohen Hejot, Had Lo Avad Avodah Kishu Kohen Hejot. Meaning, if you already served as a Kohen Hejot, so you already brought an inaugural Minchas Chavitim for being Kohen Hejot, for being a regular Kohen, now going Kohen Hejot to Kohen Gadol, so now for that inauguration, so that's going to require a new Minchas Chavitim for A, being anointed as Kohen Gadol, and B, inauguration as Kohen Gadol. However, imagine, this is unbelievable, having never served as a Kohen Hejot, and jumping from being just a Kohen having never worked in the Beis HaMikdash to then being appointed the Kohen Gadol, which is just kind of hard to imagine, but
it's like a 1980 ballgame.
It's a, and then all of a sudden, you know, right, we got nobody. Okay, you. you over there. I know you have not worked one day in the Beis HaMikdash in your life, but look, right, you're the Kohen Gadol today. And so for that day, he's now going to be bringing one Minchas Chavitim for his inaugural day as a Kohen, another Minchas Chavitim for being inauguration of being a Kohen Gadol. Congratulations. It's interesting. Like, you would think, like, just skip that first inauguration. Nope, that's an inaugural one as well. And also Chinuch, meaning this is his first for having first time avoda, so you bring another Chavitim as well. Okay. Nizir Zaysa Bashte Yados Kamatsa Shabbatora, Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa, Shlamav Larabo Shlami Nazir. We know that Shlamav, mentioned by the Karban Todah, refers to other Karban that requires bread, and that's the Nazir. The Nazir needs to bring bread as well. Lasar Kabin, Yusham Larevi Shemin. 10 Kab of flour, because remember, only two of the three types are brought. Since the total three requires 15, two of the three requires only 10. And Revi Shemin, only quarter log of oil. Yachol lakol, masha amar binyan, tamalamar matzos. You could have made the argument, look, if we're comparing him to the Todah, so why limit him to two types? Bring three types, Right? How can we leave the Revucha out for the Nazir? So my Tamuda, the Gemara asks exactly that question. Amar Papa, Davish and Emar Bo Matzos, Lafuke Revucha Shalon Emar Bo Matzos. So one explanation of the Gemara is Revucha, even though it is not Chametz, it is Matzah, but the Torah never gives it the actual designation of Matzah. The Torah doesn't call it Matzah. So therefore, by the Nazir, we're only going to be using the types that are actually called, that are actually branded matzah. Chalos is called matzah. Rekikin are called matzah. Revucha, even though it is matzah, the Torah never calls it matzah. That's explanation number one. The Bei Rabbi Yishmael Tana matzah is klal, chalos rekikin prat, klal upral, ein beklal ela masha beprat, chalos rekikin in midi achrin alal. Rabbi Yishmael goes to his tried and true method of klal uprat, and it mentions that he will be bringing matzos, but then it says chalos and rekikin. Chalos and rekikin are specific examples, and we know the rule: klal uprat ein shebeklal ela ma shebeprat. Okay, good. Ad kan divrei haGemara. We continue now. We're on the next amud. We're by the Mishnah. Okay. Now, how does it work? Now, how does what work? How does the loaves of the Karban Todah get imbued with Kedushas HaGof? Alright. Now, just in general, we know. That in order for something to be called a Karban, not in the world of an animal, but in the world of Menachos, so usually what gives it Kedushas HaGof, intrinsic Kedusha, is by placing it into a Klisharis. Once you take the flour and you put it into a Klisharis, it's imbued with Kedushas HaGof. Now what does that mean? Good. It now has Kedushas HaGuf. It is now given all the strictures, all the regulations of having Kedushas HaGuf. Notably, once you take it outside the Azara, you disqualify it with the Psul of Yotzei. Once it's been left overnight, it's been disqualified now with the Psul of Lina. Okay, etc., etc. It is now carbon status, with all susceptible to all the disqualifications that a carbon status would have. It now has Kedushas HaGuf. Plus, also, it's not redeemable. Meaning, once it has Kedushas HaGuf, that's it. It's locked with Kedusha. It is a non-redeemable item. Okay? And that usually happens when you put it into the Kli Shares. Okay. By the Lachmei Todah, the Lachmei Todah is not a self-standing mincha. So therefore, it is not given Kedushas HaGuf the moment it's placed into a Kli Shares. No. It's given Kedushas HaGuf with the shechting of the carbon. Meaning, it's really the carbon that is the trigger that gives the lechem, the bread, it's now changed from just simply having Kedushas Damim to having now Kedushas HaGuf. Okay. And, just another point that the Mishnah is going to make exceedingly clear, the bread's got to be ready. Meaning you just simply can't have the flour shecht your Karban Todah and say, okay, you see that flour? Okay, I'm gonna bake that into my chametz and my matzah, my rekik, doesn't work that way. It has to be there and has to be ready. So in other words, the process of the Karban Todah, first you prepare all your lechem, your 10 loaves of chametz, your 30 loaves of matzah, you prepare them all, you bake them, now we're ready. Now we're going to shecht the Karban Todah, and with the shechting of the Karban Todah, all that bread, the bread and the matzah, all now will be imbued with Kedushas HaGuf. That is how it works in the world of Lachmei Todah.
So where they are?
Okay.
Minchat Nesachim, you can bring another day. Okay?
Yeah.
Like an old time.
Correct.
But
correct.
To be ready. But this in a similar, it's kind of similar to Minchat Nesachim, don't know.
Almost the opposite. Meaning it, just the opposite. Meaning here the bread needs to be ready now. Right, yeah. Right. Hashochet es ha-todah.
Was there any requirement where the flour would come from and where it's cooked and baked? Or
it's got it. In other words, it would seem then that since it doesn't receive Kedushas HaGuf until the shechting, it could
be anything.
Right? Presumably it could be cooked and baked anywhere. Hashochet es ha-todah. So now you realize, hopefully if the introduction was successfully clear, now you realize that the most significant moment is that point of Shechita. Because at the point of Shechita now you look, where's the Lachmei Todah? So for example, Shochet es ha-todah lifnim v'lachma chutz l'choma. And while you're shechting the Karban Todah, so where are the loaves of the bread? So if they're outside the wall, now which wall are we talking about? Okay, Stay tuned. Stay, yes, yes. So stay tuned. So if they're outside the walls, the bread doesn't become kadosh, because the bread is, that's the critical moment. That's the point now where the bread is going to get imbued with kedusha, and that bread needs to be inside the walls. Okay, you'll notice carefully that I didn't say which walls, because the Gemara will teach us that's really a machlokas. And okay, so stay tuned. But anyway, but the basic idea is it has to be within the walls. Lo kiddush ala, I'm sorry. So as I told you, lifnei v'lachma chutz chama lo kiddush alachem. Shachta ashlo kamu paneh betanur. What about if you haven't baked the loaves yet and you shechted your carbon toda before the loaves have been baked? Ve'afilu kamu kulan chutz me'achan mehem. What if I bake 39 loaves? I haven't baked one of the 39 loaves. Lo kiddush alachem. Also no good. All 40 loaves of the lachmei toda are considered one unit. If one of the 39 loaves is not baked, and I shech the karmen toda, the loaves have not been imbued with sanctity. It's all or nothing. Okay.
Point. Like he says, they're baked, but not one of them is not baked enough.
Right.
No.
Right. Right.
Fully baked.
Right. Coming up in the discussion, in the Gemara discussion about what is fully baked. My chutzachoma. So the bread has to be within the walls. Now let me provide for you two suggestions in terms of which walls we're talking about. Suggestion, and before we do the Gemara, just speak it out outside, just so that we can conceptualize a little bit about which walls and why specifically these walls. Number one, option number one, we could be talking about the walls of the Azara.
Right.
Okay. Courtyard, temple courtyard. Now, why does that make sense? Because I'm shechting in the Azara. I can't shecht outside the Azara. I need those loaves to be connected with the shechting. So when the Mishnah says it has to be inside the walls, it means inside the walls of the Azara. That's option number one. Option number two is that we're talking about the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay. It's a shlamim. The carbon toda is a carbon shlamim. So after I shecht it, I then can eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim. Now, think about it. The lachmei toda is not being offered as a carbon, right? It's just simply connected. It's attached to the carbon, but it's not being offered. So the lechem is not really, it is a carbon, but it's not, it's only an attachment to a carbon. It's not the actual carbon itself. And I know that once I shecht your carbon toda, everything can be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. So maybe what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says that the bread has to be within the walls, it just means the walls of Yerushalayim. Those are your two options, and the Gemara will point out that both of these are entertained by Amoraim. My chutzachoma, Rav Yochanan Amar chutzachoma's Beis Pagi. So Rav Yochanan says the walls of Beis Pagi. Now, kind of hoping that he would say the walls of Yerushalayim. It's really one in the same. Beis Pagi are basically the walls of Yerushalayim. Apparently, some of the walls that went around Yerushalayim, the Rashi up top talks about the walls of Harabayas, right? Chutz Chomas Harabayas. The Rashi Ksav Yad says that we're talking about the walls of Yerushalayim. You, generally speaking, we assume Beis Pagi means the walls of Yerushalayim. Okay, but for purposes of honesty and full disclosure, the Rashi, not the Ksav Yad, but the Rashi upstairs, said we're talking about Harabais. Okay. My chutzachoma, Rabbi Yochanan Amar chutzachoma's Beis Pagi. Reish Lakish Amar chutzachoma's Azara. And Reish Lakish says no, outside the walls of the Azara. Okay. Reish Lakish Amar chutzachoma's Azara being in Al B'Samach. Because when the Torah describes the shechting of the Toda, it says that it has to be Al Lachmei Toda. And Reish Lakish is a literalist. Not total literalist, meaning the bread doesn't actually have to be on top, but it has to be near. Al means besamach. Rav Yochanan Amar chutz chomas beis pagi, av chutz azara karish v'lo be'inan al besamach. And Rav Yochanan says, no, al doesn't literally mean on top of. Al does not mean within proximity. Al just simply means, right, over, in regard to, right? Okay. Av chutz azara karish v'lo be'inan al besamach. V'ha'if l'gubar chadazimna. The Gemara points out, this machlok is between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in terms of how to interpret the word al, whether to understand it literally or not so literally, is already subject to a debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish in another area of halacha. Okay. You know, on Pesach, you're not allowed to own chametz. Right? We all knew that. Yeah. You're not allowed to own chametz, you're not allowed to eat chametz. In addition to that, there's another law in the Torah that's not as popular. I'd say people don't know this, right? People who are not so learned. We, on the other hand, are a little bit learned, right? We speak specifically about myself, right? We know there's another issur in the Torah, which is that when you shecht your carbon Pesach, you can't own chametz. And if you own chametz while shechting your carbon Pesach, in addition to the general prohibition of you can't own chametz, but in addition to that, you violate an issur in the Torah. In the Torah, the end of Parsha Mishpatim, the Torah says, "Al tishchat." Yes and no. Thank you. Al-Khamed Dam Zivchit. Okay? You're not allowed to shecht your Karban Pesach while you own Chametz. And so if you own Chametz, so you violated another Issur in the Torah. Okay. So, what does that mean, owning Chametz at the time of shechting? So the Mishnah says, "Hashocher es haPesach al haChametz over below Saseh." You violate Lo Saseh. Rav Yehuda Amar af haTamid. Now Rav Yehuda says, and not only is it the Karban Pesach. Actually, the Torah doesn't say the word Pesach. The Torah says al Zivchi my Zevach. And Rav Yehuda says it even refers to the Tamid as well. Tamid shel ben Arba'im. VaAmar Yish Lakish laOlam Einu Chayv ad sheYehei L'shochet, o l'zorek, o l'echa b'mnei achabur imo ba'azara. According to Reish Lakish, in order to successfully violate the Isser, which is not a goal, it's not something you want to do, but in order to violate this Isser, you need to have chametz with you in the temple courtyard. Okay.
Amazing.
How come the Kohanim didn't get you at that point in time? How did you...
You smile. That's the security. Security. Yeah, but the thing is that the guy could be pretending it's chametz right there.
Okay. Anyway, according to Reish Lakish, you need to have the chametz with you in the Azara. Because Reish Lakish is consistent. The word al means literally, it's got to be on you. Right? Do you have it on you? Right? The question you're asked when you're in security.
Right.
So according to Reish Lakish, on you means literally you have to actually have it in the Azara together with you. Rav Yochanan ma'af apishenim of Azara. And Rav Yochanan says, no, that's not what the Torah means. The Torah means on you means on your possession. Right? Not on your physical body. Not even in the Azara. Do you own chametz? If the answer is yes, so now you're going to get Malkus for shechting a Karban Pesach while in ownership of chametz. Now, the Gemara, good. So, it's beautiful because you actually see consistency, meaning Rav Yochanan always takes the word al to mean literally, Reish Lakish takes the word al to mean literally on you, physically on you, and Rav Yochanan says, no, al doesn't mean physically on you, al means simply in your possession, in your ownership. We see that machlokas regarding shecht and karban pesach while owning chametz, and we see it over here, where does the lachmei todah need to be when you're shechting the karban todah? The Gemara is annoyed because the Gemara says, once I know the machlok is here, I'll know the machlok is over there as well. Why do I need Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish to spell it out in both places? And so the Gemara, right, the Gemara is just not satisfied enough just to see consistency. The Gemara wants to understand why is there a need for repetition? Sricha. They're both needed. Says, look, I can hear a difference. Because even if all I had was Rav Yochanan regarding chametz, yeah, you hear it. Because the whole idea is, you can't own a chametz. Doesn't matter where the chametz is, but the Torah's point is, you can't own chametz. Here, I need a positive action. Meaning, I want to be mekadesh to the lechem. You could make the argument that in order to be mekadesh to lechem, lechem needs to be in the Azara, where Kiddush normally happens. So you could easily hear how Rav Yochanan on the issue of Lechem, Lachmei Todah, may agree to Reish Lakish had we not known otherwise. And then we'll go the other way. I'm sorry, let me just finish reading. Eima Moda L'Reish Lakish, the Yisa Bifnim Kaddush, Avrai Lo Kaddush. The E Itmar Baha, Baha Kamar Reish Lakish, Ava Baha Chema Moda L'Reish Rav Yochanan, Tzricha. And then we'll just simply go the other way. Meaning, if all I had was a Lachmei Todah, I would say Reish Lakish needs it to be in the Azara. But if I move over to the case of Chametz on Pesach, maybe he agrees with Rabbi Yochanan, because it's Rabbi Yochanan provides a very sensible argument. The Isser is owning Chametz, not actually having it on your possession. Tanya Kavasa to Rabbi Yochanan, and then, how do you like this part? The Gemara says, Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlakish. The Gemara says, we have a brace that fully supports Rabbi Yochanan. Hashochet is Satod, Lefnim, Balachoma, Chutz, Chomets, Beis Pagi, Lo Karash Alachem. The bread can't be outside the walls of Beis Pagi. Meaning, we subscribe to Rabbi Yochanan, that the bread has to be within the walls of Yerushalayim. Good, bottom line, we go like Rabbi Yochanan on this, in this Machlokes. Shachru Ashlo Karmu Panebatar. Minah Nimilitan Rabbanan. Achalos Lechem Chametz Yakriv Karbano Alzevach Malamishen Alechem Kadosh. Ella Imkin Karmu Paneha Betanur. The bread needs to be baked in the oven at the time of Shechita. Yakriv Karbano Alzevach Malamishen Alechem Kadosh Aval Ella Beshechita Sazevach. And when is it imbued with Kedusha? When I shech the Karban. Zevach Todas Malamishim Shachesh Lashman Lokidish Alechem. What if I shecht the carbon toda shalol lishma? So if I shecht the carbon shalol lishma, remember the first thing we learned in Zvachim, the first thing we learned is that if I shecht the carbon shalol lishma, the carbon's still good, you don't get credit. We will, however, now make one more point, which is that if it's a carbon toda, the carbon's still good, you don't get credit, and the bread doesn't get kadosh. Okay, in order for the bread to be imbued with kedusha, it needs... The carbon toda has to be shechted lishma. Okay, we'll pause over here tomorrow. Pick it up. Parboiled lechem, right? Well, that will be the beginning of tomorrow's discussion, right? Bringing 80 loaves instead of 40 loaves. I know that sounds familiar. It should sound familiar. The Gemara will bring that discussion in as well, and then we'll continue with tomorrow's daf as well.